spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olives, beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generation.
The Eternal Light. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations make free time available to present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Today's program, The Last Penny, was adapted by Joseph Mindell from a story of the same name by S. Froude. Just take a look at the world. I don't have to tell you it's in a sorry state, as it has been for longer than you or I can remember. Yet there was a moment when the world was about to be redeemed, when war and violence would end and poverty and suffering disappear. A moment when the Messiah himself was on the way. I won't keep you in suspense. The Messiah did not arrive. But how he almost did and why he didn't, that's the story. I'll begin very simply at the beginning. One day in a town whose name you don't have to bother your head about, it suddenly happened that there was not a penny left in anyone's pocket. Now, don't ask me how it happened. I can't tell you. But the fact is that in the whole town, there was not a single penny.
How can it be? I don't understand it.
I refuse to believe it.
What do you find so hard to believe, Gershon?
This is no time for your cynicism, Kalman.
This is such a rich community, a second Paris, a London, Wall Street, that the disappearance of our wealth is incredible.
I've been as poor as long as you, Kalman, if not longer, but there were always a few coins jingling in my pocket.
How much difference is there between that and nothing?
I'll tell you how much. Can my wife go to Enoch and buy a penny's worth of meat without a penny? There he is. I'll ask him. Tell me, Enoch. Can she?
I don't know what to tell you, Gershon. I was thinking, how can my wife go to Mordecai and buy a loaf of bread without a penny?
It's simple, Enoch. You give Mordecai's wife a penny's worth of meat, and he'll give yours a loaf of bread. You see?
Kalman, if you can't be serious, then please be still.
But I am serious.
All right. Now, Enoch, Mordecai, a thing like this doesn't happen for no reason. There's something behind it.
Yes, but what?
I think that... No. Why should I say it?
What, Gershon? Say it.
Well, I think that this has come to us because of our sin.
Speak for yourself, Gershon.
Kalman, I asked you not to joke.
Doesn't the Torah say that a man shall not be punished for another's sin?
We know you're a learned man, Kalman, almost as learned as Rabbi Eliezer, but at such a time, keep your quotations to yourself.
Rabbi Eliezer.
What about him, Enoch?
We'll go to the rabbi, of course.
What can he do for us in such a situation?
Don't you see, Gershon, that you sinned or I, who's to argue? But Rabbi Eliezer...
Sin? Bite your tongue, Enoch.
Exactly. Let's go and talk to Rabbi Eliezer.
But my husband's not here. You know we went to perform a marriage.
Of course, we forgot.
But since you're here, all of you, sit down. We'll have a glass of tea.
Oh, no, don't trouble yourself, Leah.
No trouble, Gershon.
Well, in that case...
I'll send out for some rolls and we'll have... Where's my pocketbook? Oh, look at this. Empty. The rabbi forgot to leave me money for food.
Oh.
What's the matter, Enoch? Are you sick?
If it were only that. Look again, Leah. Maybe...
I looked. We could have tea without rolls.
Look somewhere else. In a closet.
Enoch, you'll excuse me if I speak plainly. The rabbi is not so well paid that there's money left over to be hidden in closets.
Oh.
You're sick too, Gershon? I don't understand.
Who does understand? How can I explain it to you if... Why are you sitting there, Kalman, nodding to yourself? Say something, Kalman.
How long we have waited. And now it is to come about.
What are you talking about?
Yet who would have believed? For it says in the Talmud, When a generation arises that is all saints or else all sinners.
Don't talk nonsense, Kalman.
As regards saints, there's nothing to be said. Just look around you.
No. Come. We have to decide what to do. Pay no attention to him.
Wait, Gershon. I want to hear what he says.
Thank you, Enoch. Well, if we have no saints, then we must put our hope in sinners. That's easy, you say, but you... But wait. There's a certain apothecary.
You don't have to get personal, Carmen.
You're a shoemaker, Gershon. Why should you care? Besides... Everybody knows he hasn't set foot in the synagogue for a year.
Well, then he's somebody, a sinner.
A real sinner, eh? But I happen to know that a certain anonymous contribution to the Passover Fund for the Needy was made by this same man. A fine sinner.
Kalman, I'm getting a headache. Please tell us what you're talking about.
I'm telling you plainly what the Talmud says, Enoch. The Messiah will not come until the generation will be either all righteous... or all wicked.
Oh. With all your quotations, what have you proved? That we are not worthy to receive the Messiah.
Enoch, one does not question the Almighty. For the Talmud also says, the Son of David will not come until there is no man to be found with a single coin in his pocket. My friends... Prepare yourselves for the coming of the Messiah.
Gershon, look at the sole of my shoe. There's a hole.
You showed it to me last week, Enoch.
I know, but today I'd like you to fix it.
Oh, it's too late, Enoch. I've already put my tools away. Besides, what's the point of fixing your shoes now when... You know what I mean.
Maybe you think I'm foolish. If it were only to stand in my butcher shop, to walk to my house and from my house, it could wait. But now it's different. I'd like my shoes to be without holes. Do you know what I mean, Gershon?
I think so. Give me your shoe. I'll put a new sole on.
A half sole.
This is no time to skimp, Enoch.
You're right. Gershon, I can't pay you.
Of course not. Anyway... Why would I need money now?
Why, indeed.
That is, if Kalman is right.
Kalman is a learned man.
Oh, I don't deny it. Still, if... Now, don't misunderstand me, Enoch.
It seems to me that today I understand everything, everybody.
Good. Then, if Kalman should be wrong, you'll owe me for fixing the shoe.
What? Well... All right, this is not a day for quibbling. Gershon, wait till Rabbi Eliezer hears about it.
Mordecai, do me a favor.
Of course, Rabbi.
The driver's just brought me back, and I find I have no money, not even a penny. Have I said something funny?
Not at all, Rabbi. Did you hear, Enoch? The rabbi doesn't have a penny in his pocket.
Mordecai, the driver is waiting.
Enoch, explain to the driver.
I'll explain to the driver.
What's the matter with you? Why are you laughing?
Shall I tell you, Rabbi Eliezer? I'm laughing because I'm happy.
You are? And the others there, happy too?
Just look at them.
Then it's more serious than I thought. Mordecai, you're wearing a fur coat.
Do you like it, Rabbi?
It looks familiar. Of course, it belongs to the apothecary. Why are you wearing his coat?
I admired it, so he gave it to me. Handsome, isn't it?
Please, Mordecai, calm down. You mean he sold it to you?
No, my dear Rabbi, that's not what I mean.
He gave you a new fur coat out of the goodness of his heart? Now I'm ready to believe anything.
Are you? Are you really? Gershon, you heard?
Why don't you tell Rabbi Eliezer the news?
They told Rabbi Eliezer how there was not a single penny anywhere in the town. And the first thing he did was to say the blessing for something new.
Blessed art thou, O Lord, our God, King of the universe, who art good and dispensest good.
And then, it's really very strange, he said a little sadly.
Then it was not out of the goodness of his heart.
You mean the coat? Rabbi, why shouldn't he give it to me? He won't need it.
And you, Mordecai, do you need it?
It's true that when he comes, the son of David, there will be no more winter, no more snow and bitter cold. Trees will bear fruit every day. There will be no rich, no poor. In fact, Rabbi, hasn't it already begun?
Has it?
Certainly. Here am I, Mordecai, a poor baker, wearing a fur coat.
Mordecai, if you can forget your fur coat for a little while, we have important business.
Oh, yes, of course, Gresham.
There may not be much time, Rabbi. We have to prepare for the coming of the Messiah.
Tell me, Gershon, how do you do that?
But that's why we came to you. Don't you know?
Yes, I know.
Well, can you tell us?
It takes a lifetime to prepare, Gershon. Maybe the lives of many generations.
Well, we don't have time for that, Rabbi.
If we would repent, truly repent, for the bad things we've done for only one day... One single day, then the Messiah would come. Or if we observed a single Sabbath properly.
Let's be practical, Rabbi.
Or if we prayed just once, with no shadows between us and God. It's time for the evening prayers, Gershon. We'll talk about it later.
All right.
Now we'll talk about what we must do. Now, first of all...
Gershon, I have a report to make to the community.
The report can wait, Benjamin. Now, as I was saying...
I have just come back from the city, from talking to the contractor.
What contractor?
We have been busy for a whole year building a new public bath. And he asks me, what contract?
Benjamin, while you were away, something happened.
It doesn't matter what happened. I have a report to make.
This is more important. Now, sit down and be still.
Yes, go on. Sit down, Benjamin.
I insist on my rights. I was entrusted with public monies, and I want to make a public accounting.
Gershon, why can't we let him report?
Well, it's only because of the rabbi, Benjamin.
Thank you, Rabbi. Now... As regards the accounts, I have settled with the contractor, and I find, after paying for the building, the public bath, that is, of the public monies placed in my care, and very good care I took of it, I can assure you, despite the fact that some people...
Get to the point, Benjamin.
Well, if you won't let a man make a decent report, have it your way. There you are.
Huh? What's that? Benjamin?
What do you think it is? It's a penny. The balance of the public money left after paying for the building.
A penny? Benjamin, we all appreciate how hard you've worked, how careful you've been, how honest.
Well, I should say so.
But maybe you made a mistake. Not much, a little mistake.
It could happen to anyone to make a mistake in an account.
Mistakes, huh? Let me tell you something, Anak, and you, Gershon. And you too, Mordecai. Last year, when I gave you my report and told you there was not enough money for the building, you practically called me a thief. Isn't that the truth?
It was different, Benjamin.
And now, when I tell you that there is a balance to the good and I put it down in hard cash... You want to have it the other way around?
Do you understand what this means? It completely changes the picture. Please, everybody, we must be calm. Now, Calvin, you started this whole business.
What do you say now?
I don't know why you're all so excited.
Who's excited?
It's only a penny. Get rid of it. Throw it away. Throw it in the river.
Of course, of course. My friends, please, my dear friends.
What's this sudden politeness that's come over you, Mordecai?
My dear friends, in the face of the great event that is about to happen, our tongues must not be bitter, and our hearts should be gentle.
I didn't know you had it anymore, Mordecai.
Now, listen. Well, even that I will overlook, calm. Now, to take public money and throw it away, that's no plan at all. I have a better idea. Penny belongs to the building fund?
That's right. Right.
Have we then finished building? Take the roof of the Talmud Torah, the children's school, for example. It's been leaking for 10 years. Let's use the penny to repair it.
You're absolutely right, Mordecai.
Thank you, Gershon.
Only, if the Messiah comes, we won't need a Talmud Torah, but consider the synagogue.
We won't need a synagogue either.
It's true, true. Now, still, there's a big difference between an elementary school and a place of learning like the synagogue.
I could argue with you, Gershon, but we'll discuss it quietly, reasonably, like people on whom the fate of the whole world may very well rest. Have I said something wrong, Rabbi? You look so strange.
Mordecai, I was thinking that the fate of the whole world has always rested on each man. For what I am about to tell you, you'll simply have to take my word. At the very instant that the good people were discussing the problem quietly and reasonably, there came to him who had been chosen long ago, some say even before the world was created, there came to him a messenger from heaven.
You'd better saddle your white horse.
At last the world is ready. But it will take me a little time.
I am sent only to deliver a message.
My horse has been standing in the stable so long that he's covered with dust and dirt.
The message is that you are to start riding at once.
And the chauffeur, the ram's horn, it has to be cleansed too.
You'll have to hurry. They have only a single penny to get rid of.
Oh? Then they're not quite ready.
To tell you the truth, I'm not sure I understand this whole affair.
You see, it's not the money or the lack of it.
No.
But when there is not even a penny left to buy bread, when men have suffered absolute poverty without end, they may turn at last to God.
And then?
And then I come. If they have really cleansed their soul.
I see. And now this is about to happen.
I don't know, but I hope so. With all my heart, I hope so.
Swift as an eagle, the righteous Redeemer flew on his snow-white horse. The long, long road stretched from one end of the earth to the other. And sweet as the note of a violin sounded the voice of the Messiah singing as he rode.
We were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him.
And in the meantime, the penny lay on the table, worn and shiny, a thin sliver of penny. And the discussion continued.
Mordecai, the synagogue roof leaks just as much, I assure you, as the Talmud Torah.
What do you mean you assure me as if I'm not in the synagogue at least as often as you?
Then I shouldn't have to
gentlemen,
tell you
that... Gentlemen,
please.
Mordecai, the Talmud Torah is certainly important.
Uh-huh. Listen to Enoch. He'll tell you, Gershon.
And the synagogue is also important.
Ah.
But the cemetery...
What's wrong with the cemetery?
There's been no fence for 20 years.
So, what of it? No one will settle there by mistake, Enoch.
The cows and horses use it for a meeting place and trample the graves. I tell you, the penny should be used to put up at least one post for repentance.
Never! The penny should go for the Talmud Torah.
For the synagogue, I say. Everybody knows the burial society has more revenue than the houses of learning.
Revenue? I don't like the sound of your words, Gershon. Don't we account for every penny?
A fine accounting we get from a committee that can't even keep a fence around the cemetery.
Gershon, watch your tongue. Don't start anything, or else...
You're afraid the truth will
synagogue.
Till my last breath for the synagogue.
For the synagogue.
Why don't we ask Rabbi Eliezer what he thinks?
All right. All right, we'll ask him. Rabbi, tell...
Rabbi Eliezer is not here. No, I have come too soon.
Messiah, don't go.
It's no use, Rabbi. I have come too soon.
Thomas,
listen to them.
You see
how it is, Rabbi.
We have waited so long for your coming.
Waiting is not enough.
Do you expect perfection? Do you expect complete repentance and atonement? I tell you, you will not find it.
Rabbi, are you angry with me?
You have come so far. Don't go back.
Do you know how many times I have started out? Each time I hope that I will finally complete my journey.
Forgive me for saying it, but what is your hope compared to theirs? And how should they know how to act?
It has been told them what they must do and how they shall live.
But they forget they're only men.
Rabbi, they are men. That is why I start each time with hope.
Tell us, Rabbi.
He was here, Mordecai, right outside, but
he went away on account of the penny. The last penny.
There were other reasons as well.
He came too soon. We weren't ready. But you were ready, Rabbi. It isn't right.
I'm not complaining.
For myself, knowing what I've done and what I've left undone, I have no right to complain. But you, Rabbi, why should you be deprived on my account?
Thank you, Mordecai. But even if what you say is true, I don't mind.
Well, how can you not mind, Rabbi? How can you not blame us?
Mordecai, even if I were as worthy as you think, I would be lonely without my congregation. Besides, we have some work to do.
You mean the penny?
No, not the penny. I mean that now we can prepare for the coming of the Messiah. And Mordecai, the apothecary, will need his fur coat.
I'll tell you what I think. I think that we could all use a fur coat because the winters will be cold and the snow will be deep. But I also think how Mordecai and Gershon and Enoch must be working to prepare for the coming of the Messiah. And it seems to me that the winters are growing milder. If you would like a copy of today's script, please send your name and address with 10 cents to cover the cost of postage and handling to the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. And now we take great pleasure in presenting Rabbi Moses Lehrman, spiritual leader of Congregation B'nai Moshe of Detroit, Michigan. Rabbi Lehrman.
The anticipated arrival of the Messiah has in the past helped to sustain our suffering co-religionists in their unbearable march across the centuries of medieval woe and torment. They look to the messianic hour as a recompense for their impossible existence in a world of hate, strife, and madness. But more than once has their dream turned into a nightmare. Unable to hold out, they place their trust in impostors who play the Messiah and lured innocent people into their havens of delusion. The tragic episode of Sabbatai Tzvi in the 17th century, who raised his followers to the heights of messianic ecstasy and then left them suspended in midair, is a vivid yet pathetic portrayal of the mental anguish which such disillusionments carried in their wake. They and thousands of others could have been spared much suffering, however, had the realization come to them that man need not wait for the Messiah. The Messiah instead waits for man. The messianic age is either close at hand or 1,000 light years away, depending upon our spiritual readiness for its reception. Glorious hours have too often turned into vapor, finding man spiritually unprepared for the waiting glory. You and I know people who persist in placing the house of God on trial. I am going to attend a religious service, runs the challenge. If I like it, well and good. If not, no services for me. The results are not difficult to predict. Such skeptics are not prepared for a religious experience and will emerge as untouched by the spirit of prayer as before they entered. For they who bring nothing with them in spirit must not expect to take anything out. The arrival of the H-bomb and the awful awareness of what it might do to our planet compels us to pray with the prophet Micah for that messianic day when nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. But the distance of that great day from man depends on how well he can become spiritually ready for it. As to our speculations on the arrival of the Messiah, let us be certain of one thing. The Messiah is eagerly awaiting our arrival.
Thank you, Rabbi Lehrman. Our Eternal Eye drama today, The Last Penny, was adapted by Joseph Mindel from a story of the same name by S. Frug, published in the anthology Yisroel by the Beechhurst Press. Cantor David Putterman sang the liturgical introduction. Featured in the cast were Joseph DeSantis as Gershon, Leon Janney as Colwyn, Louis Soren as Benjamin, Adelaide Klein as Leah, Peter Capel as Enoch, Roger DeCoven as the Rabbi, Ralph Bell as Mordecai, and Guy Repp as the Messiah. Bert Cowlin was the narrator. The music was written by Morris Momorsky and conducted by Milton Kadams. This has been an NBC Radio Network production under the direction of Edward King. Mel Brandt speaking. Free time to present The Eternal Light is made available by the National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations. This weekly program is presented under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America.
This is the NBC Radio Network.